Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good evening. This is the LA Steel Show. Tonight, I'm going to venture into the unknown era. I've been doing some studying on the ascension consciousness recently, for quite some time, but more so I've been involved with this. I just finished reading this Flower of Life seminar that George Dixon gave to me to read, and I was pretty fascinated, but I also got rather lost, very lost. Not so much lost, just a very, there was so much that became very hard to, hard to believe, I guess. Hard to believe. And I'm a bit confused on it, but I wanted to, I thought maybe I should bring some facts and figures to this rather than try to conceptualize this, better conceptualize this for myself and my audience. I'm going to talk about the fourth dimension, basically, but in more of a, I don't know how far I'm going to be able to get on this either. As mathematically, I'm rather an idiot. I'll admit that to most people, but I find that maybe I can come up with something. Here tonight. From other uses, see fourth dimension. In physics and mathematics, a sequence of n of numbers, rather, can be understood as a location in a dimensional space. When n equals 4, a set of such locations is called the fourth dimensional Euclidean space. Such a space differs from our more traditional three-dimensional space in that it has an additional dimension, a new direction in which movement is possible. The fourth spatial dimension is a concept distinct from the time dimension in space-time. And again, let me explain space-time for you, since we are going to be soon leaving that, if you know what we believe to be true, is that mankind will soon be, in 2012, mankind will no longer be in the third dimension, essentially. They will be rising to a fourth dimensional awareness and in a fourth dimensional state, which is quite different. And it's been proven that the fourth dimension lives. There's actually, according to this, there's 13 dimensions, and there's, according to this work that I'm reading, been reading, there's 13 dimensions, and there's 144 thousand overtones to those dimensions. So, and mankind is now in the third dimension, probably the higher overtones of the third dimension, and we'll be soon going into the fourth dimension. And no one will be staying back. I mean, everybody will be going into this. Everybody, we're in there now, basically. We're headed there, and we can see it. I mean, what happens is, according to all that we've studied, all that I've studied, and according to the Mayan calendar, and according to all these prophecies, what's going to happen is all of our systems are collapsing. All of the things that we know are collapsing around us. And our families, our marriages, our institutions, everything that we held on, we believed to be true at one time, is now becoming false, because we as a race of people, I don't mean black, white, and brown. I mean, we as a as a species or as a race of beings, are vibrating at a much higher level than we were even 10 years ago or even last year. We are speeding up and we are opening up. And the way they describe it in this this Melchizedek concept is that we are actually opening up. We are waking up, I should say. We have gotten out of this period of sleep, which is, you know, we've been in for 13,000 years, essentially. But we are now coming into this era since 1999, coming into this period of the ethics period, but also into the extremely rapid pace of vibratory existence. I mean, we are, our molecular structure and our atomic structure is just exploding, essentially, with and opening up channels to communications that we've never had before, intelligence and ideas and so on. So where 10 years ago, this is a prime example, 10 years ago, the country was totally divided politically, socially, and so on. And to the extent that we wound up getting a boob named George Bush to, you know, as president, in a very, very, split vote decision election, but in an election that was rampant with voter fraud on the Republican side. Right? And we allowed this to happen. I mean, it's like this country just slept right through it, okay? And George Bush just walked right into the world, took over the country with his PNAC people, you know, New American Century people, which were all his cabinet members and so on. And next thing we knew, we had 9-1-1, which was, which is exactly what they needed to take control of this country. And then not the Arabs, so on, but the George Bush administration. All right. So the country was basically sleeping. We were just coming out of our sleep, we were sleeping. But then in 2001, we got hit with this attack in the World Trade Center, which now jarred our senses. And we couldn't believe that our own government could have done that. Of course, we can't. We can now. Everybody knows we do. Everybody knows our government did it. All right? The whole world knows. 90% of the world knows, except for the American people. The American people still, 60% of the American people don't believe that George Bush or the government was involved in 9-1-1. So, but in 2001, we were convinced, I was convinced that George Bush had done it. I was convinced that everybody in the government had done it because that this was the most criminal government we have ever had. But yet, the country was not awake. The United States was not awake. The world really wasn't awake yet. But as we got further along into this millennium, or into this century, we suddenly became awakened by what was happening. We saw it. We saw it now. As of 2008 and 2009, now we're fully aware. Everybody, whoa, what's going on? The world's falling apart. Well, we're waking up to the fact that it is, okay? And that's the reason it's falling apart, because the illusion that kept Bush in power and the banks in power and all these conspiracies in power, okay, was because we were asleep at the wheel, all right? We were asleep at the switch, basically, okay? And we as a country, as people, as a race of people, just, fell asleep at the switch and allowed it to happen. And what happened was it drove our country and the world right into a full financial collapse and into two wars and to, massive devastation and murder and genocide and everything else. But we're starting to see this, and now people are waking up to the fact that we are not in good shape here, but something more is happening. And what's happening is that we are dropping away. We are falling away from the third dimensional reality that we exist in, because these things don't work anymore for us. They're irrelevant. They're insane. We're starting to see the insanity of our system, all right? At work, the banking system and the military system, the military and the congressional government, everything. We're starting to see the total insanity of it. So as millions and millions and millions of people in this country are waking up to that fact, we don't know exactly why it's happening, but we know something is happening. And if you look back at the predictions of the Mayans and the predictions of the Hopis and the predictions of the indigenous people around the world, but you also look back at the warnings that were given by the founding fathers of this country, the warnings to the people in the future generations that, you know, in fact, Lincoln said this country won't die from outside attack. This country will only die by suicide. And that's what's happening. And it's only because people have been drugged. They're not awake. But now they are waking up. But they're waking up because we're about ready to rise to another dimension of our evolution. We're about ready to get there. We're about ready. We're only a few years away. So if you're finding that everything in your life seems to be falling apart, it's falling apart for a reason, and it may not have anything to do with you. It's falling apart because it is irrelevant to your life as a spirit, to your spiritual being. We are spiritual beings. You must remember that. Spiritual beings living in a third dimensional reality, all right? Once we move on to a fourth dimension, our evolutionary process moves us to the fourth dimension and the fifth and sixth dimension and the overtones within that, we will then shed our physical bodies, our physical self. We won't need these things I shouldn't say we won't need them, but we won't need what we are dependent upon anymore. We won't need these things because we'll be able to produce them ourselves. Well, you know, what we lost in the third dimensional reality here is that we lost the ability to create things for ourselves. We became dependent on other things. That might have made our lives a little bit easier. But what do? They created waste. They created, the machines and the things that we use. We really didn't need. And I don't have enough time tonight to explain, 16 billion years of human evolution. But I do have enough time tonight to try to break the glass that surrounds us, break that glass wall, maybe, for some of you, to break the glass wall so that you realize that what you are seeing, what you are living in, is only an illusion. It's a holograph. It's a holographic existence. I know it's difficult to say that and I sound mad saying it, but it's not. We create our surroundings, as good, bad, or indifferent as they may be, as mundane or super mundane. I mean, people who have remarkable lives and remarkable accomplishments and so on and so forth, well, they've created that for themselves. They've created it in their mind. They've programmed it since they were children to be that way. What they've wanted and what they've striven to be and what they've created in their minds has now manifested into a reality, right? Be it good, bad, or horrible, okay? You could be a saint or you could be a George W. Bush, all right? But either way, all right, you have created that reality for yourself and attracted those elements to you that have put you in the places that you were, wherever you are at now. And you may be listening to me tonight from a small library, a small study like my own here. I'm talking in my room, my study, which is loaded with everything else, unbelievable. I've got instruments in here and electronic equipment and video tapes and audio tapes, and it's just, you know, a nightmare, actually. But, I mean, this is my little reality, if you will. But everybody has their own. You could be listening to this in a lavish office or in a small place. Community. And what I'm saying by the community is that a unity consciousness. And I've struggled with the idea of this as to how to create unity consciousness, how to create people thinking in like terms and thinking in how do we get people to think like we do, or how do we get us to think like they do, you know, that kind of thing. But at the same time, how do we get to unify all of these intellects, all of these lives, so that we can move on to solving the problems of humanity and solving and ascending to a much more enlightened and much more wonderful place to live. I mean, personally, between you and I, this ain't such a great place most of the time, okay, to live. It's very hard living in the third dimension. But in the fourth dimension, there are promises by many who now exist there, and fifth and sixth dimensional dwellers who are ascended masters, who live in these areas, and all that they do in those areas and those dimensions is try to communicate with those of us in the third dimension and try to accelerate our own evolutionary selves, our own evolution rather, so that we can join them. In all that I've read in the Agni Yoga series and in this work by Melchizedek and so on, is that the primary function of those who dwell in the higher dimensional realities is not to turn against those it's not that at all. It's to enlighten and to find ways for us to join them in the higher realities, in the higher dimensions. And it's our time now. It's our time. It's our time to ascend. And we have to understand what's happening to us and why the things are happening the way they are. You know as well as I do that, you know, believe it or not, it's Thursday already. I mean, this week just flew by. It's like it's only been a day, you know. I can barely remember the last. The last thing I remember was Sunday. We were sitting here in a snowstorm. You know what I mean? And today it was 50 degrees outside. It was a beautiful day. So, what I'm getting at is it's all a blur. And it's not just me, it's everybody. Like, last week, somebody might have been working and thought that they had a job security, and they might have gotten a Friday, they might have gotten the layoff slip that they weren't expecting. So it changed their whole reality. It changed their whole world. Well, we, for some reason, we can accept that, can't we? Yeah, I mean, we all have to accept changes, that dramatic life-changing things like an illness or a loss of a job or a loss of a spouse, a divorce or a child, or my God, there's just a million things that can change your life instantaneously. But we can somehow we can accept that. But we have a difficult time accepting that we could immediately get changed for the good. Like, everybody wants to win the lotto, but very few people do. And then, unfortunately, those that do win the lotto, a lot of them don't, you know, a lot of them go bankrupt within a few years. or they wish they never got the money. So yeah, we always have to be aware, be careful of what we wish for. But I think what I'm trying to get at tonight, and I hope I'm making sense out of all this, is that we are only a few years away from 2012. And actually, it's 2011. You know, it was October 28th, 2011 is when time ends. And when we start to really lose our space and time. Maybe I should go into space and time. Maybe I should explain that so people understand that a little better. I don't even know if I can honestly explain it. And I don't think I can do it with this particular. I can't do it. I can't really do this mathematically. And my mind just doesn't work with that. I haven't been trained in these concepts. But if I would better say, I'm just gonna Google something up here. Fourth dimensional existence. Multidimensional existence. What is the fourth dimension? Let me see if if anything works from here. Fourth dimensional space. I got this from Nature, International Weekly Journal of Science. Possibly the question, what is the fourth dimension, may admit of an indefinite number of answers. I prefer, therefore, in proposing to consider time as a fourth dimension of our existence, to speak of it as a fourth dimension rather than the fourth dimension. Since this fourth dimension cannot be introduced into space, as commonly understood, we require a new kind of space for its existence, which we may call time space. There is then no difficulty in conceiving the analogies in this new kind of space of the things in ordinary space which are known as lines, areas, and solids. A straight line, by moving in any direction, not in its own length, generates an area. If this area moves in any direction, not in its own plane, it generates a solid. But if this solid moves in any direction, it still generates a solid and nothing more. The reason of this is that we have not supposed it to move in the fourth dimension. If the straight line moves in its own direction, it describes only a straight line. If the area moves in its own plane, it describes only an area. In each case, motion in the dimensions in which the thing exists gives us only a thing of the same dimensions, and in order To get a thing of higher dimensions, we must have motion to a new dimension. But as the idea of motion is only applicable in space of three dimensions, we must replace it by another, which is applicable in our fourth dimension of time. Such an idea is that of successive existence. We must, therefore, conceive that there is a new three-dimensional space for each successive instant of time, and by picturing to ourselves the aggregate formed by the successive positions in time-space of a given solid during a given time, we shall get the idea of a four-dimensional solid, which may be called a sur-solid. It will assist us to get a clearer idea if we consider a solid which is in a constant state of change, both of magnitude and position. An example of a solid which satisfies this condition sufficiently well is afforded by the body of each of us. Let any man picture to himself the aggregate of his own bodily forms from birth to the present time, and he will have a clear idea of a sur-solid in time-space. I don't know if that made any sense to you. Let's see if I can get something better than that. I don't know. but let me see if there's anything else up there that might be of a higher order. Hang on 1 second. Trying to think. Maybe. Okay. Traveling the fourth dimension. See what we come up with here. Into the fourth dimension. This will probably make you freak, there's no doubt, but reading this from the GAIA community, it says, traveling the fourth dimension. By Susan Carroll, the author of this article. Maybe this will make some sense to us. There are seven subplanes of the fourth dimension. That probably messed you up even greater, but I understand what they're saying because I've read much of what they're talking about before, but I think you'll understand this. Each subplane resonates to a different frequency. A higher subplane resonates to higher frequencies, and the lower subplanes resonates to lower frequencies. With the highest frequency planes on the top, the planes are casual spiritual plane, which is the abstract thought and the higher human form. Mental plane, concrete thought and lower mind. Astral emotional plane, emotions, kingdom of fairy imagination, rest and recreation. Lower astral plane, fear and negation and negative emotions, rather. And the etheric plane, interface between third and fourth dimensions. We've all heard of the etheric plane or the ethereal plane, which is where the higher higher knowledge exists, higher than our own. But there are also all of these others. that go beyond that into the fourth dimension. Okay. Now this, the etheric plane is between the third and fourth dimension, and many of us understand and possibly have even been there in our spiritual travels, if you will, our mind travels. I've been there many times, and the first time I entered that etheric plane was many years ago. I believe I was 19 or 20 years old, and it was the first time I understood that, and I understood where it was, and it came to me in a series of what I thought were visions, but actually they were visitations, if you will, to my own body, my own. I was there. I was in that. I was there, and it took me a while to understand that that I was actually visiting this area, because I met so many entities from there that influenced the course of my life through guidance and through channeled thoughts and through correct decisions that I made. And spiritual guides that I was accustomed to. I mean, you know, it sounds weird, and it sounds, you know, people who know me out there who might be following this, and people who know me personally, this might be new to you, but yes, I mean, these things have happened to me. I've had some very odd experiences, but no, I'm not multi-personality, you know, I don't know if I'm crazy or not, but I'm not crazy, clinically so. And I don't have odd mood swings, and I function normally in life. But so do many other people, and everybody does. But people put off these things, their visits, if you will, or their flights of fancy, into these other dimensions. When they don't realize, I mean, they say, "Well, I must be going crazy," or "What was that dream?" or "What was?" Everybody goes through. But what it is that we're so close, you know, to that third dimension, that ethereal plane, we walk through, and then we go into the fourth dimension, and fifth, and some people have traveled many dimensions and are here on Earth, and have come back because they're here to help us. They're here to guide us. They're here to, and they've taken on life forms. They've taken on physical bodies, so that they could aid humanity in its evolutionary journey to the fourth dimension. To rising to that fourth dimension. And let me go on. And each of the subplanes within the fourth dimension has its own corresponding degree of materiality and condition of matter. In fact, within each subplane, there are different frequency realities that are of gradually ascending vibratory rates. For example, the astral emotional plane has many subplanes within its, ranging from a lower vibration where there is more fear than love to a higher vibration, where there is more love than fear. However, these different planes are not separated by books piled on a bookshelf. Each subplane penetrates the one just above it and below it. So what I'm trying to say is that we being in the third dimension, being in the higher tone of the third dimension, or higher plane, higher subplane, we constantly are going back into the lower astral plane, which is fear and negative emotion, right? And the one before that is another one is fear and negative emotion, rather. Then imagination, rest and recreation, the astral emotional plane. The mental plane, concrete thought, lower mind. Casual spiritual plane, abstract thought and the higher human form. But these are all parts of the third dimension. Right? And now And if you go into the etheric plane, which is the highest overtone, of, or the highest subplane of the fourth dimension, the highest subplane of the third dimension, I should say, then we're always peeking into that fourth dimensional space. And each of the subplanes within the fourth dimension has its own corresponding degree of materiality and condition of matter. For example, the astral emotional plane has many subplanes within its range, from a lower vibration where there is more fear than love to a higher vibration where there is more love than fear. So we're always going up and down in these dimensions. Why do we panic suddenly? Why do we suddenly see life in a complete panic? And then all of a sudden we can get out of that and go back to peace and a higher level, because we are entering the lower astral plane, which is fear and negative emotion, right? So this is all different levels of our third dimensional reality that we constantly are going in and out. And, you know, but each of the subplanes, all of the four dimensional realities overlap. All of the fourth dimensional realities overlap. The higher dimensional realities extend further from Earth, and the lower dimensional realities are closer to Earth. In fact, the lower astral subplanes are actually here on the surface of the Earth, but are at a higher vibration. However, because of the fourth dimension is out of phase with our third dimensional perceptions, we are not consciously aware of it. As people begin to raise their consciousness, their perceptions will gradually become receptive to a reality of a higher frequency. Then they begin to see and hear what others do not. And this can be very disturbing to one who has no guidance. And believe me, I mean, that's where your psychics belong. I mean, that's where your... once you are beyond, if you are existing at a much higher frequency or a higher rate of thought than most people, and then you become lost, because you become like a total veg. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know why. You see things differently. You don't understand why you're not conforming with society. You don't understand why you're not, this isn't working, this isn't right, this is why. You see things, and you see them clearly, but nobody else does. And you're going, this doesn't make sense. Until God, thank you, God, sends you a guide and tells you it's okay what you're seeing. Don't worry what you see, okay? Come out of that and follow me upwards so you understand that this is what is happening to you. You are operating on a higher frequency. We all know people have, you have 80 IQs and you have 800 IQs. I mean, you have people that are absolutely brilliant. I mean, absolutely brilliant in their minds. They may use 20% or 30% of their minds, or 40% of their minds, when the average person uses 10% of their mind. So but yet the majority of people use only 10%. So the poor guy who's sitting there using 20% of his mind is going, oh my God, you know, get me out of here, you know. Or they understand and they work with those people to try to elevate them, and they work with wisdom and compassion for those who are less fortunate than them, or possibly less intelligent than they are, or less. Some people are born with one arm or no arms, and some people are born with two arms. So it's like, I feel sorry for anybody who's born with less than two arms. I say, hey, you know, you feel compassion for a guy who's got to operate with one arm, you know, or one leg, or, you know. So. But what I'm saying is that equality, there isn't really a standard other than two arms and two legs and five fingers on each hand and five toes and so on. That's your standard body. But in your standard mind is your standard IQ, I don't know, is 120 or something like that. You know, 100, 120, your average IQ. But you have others that have an IQ of 145, 155, 180, you know, 200. Blow the charts away. But so many of those people are non-functional because they're so out of it that they don't realize, they can't, I mean, they think they're actually there. I mean, society oftentimes alienates these people. I mean, they're walking around homeless. They're walking around without, you know, they're walking around to be, you know, they can't function in normal society, and they've never had the guidance. So they've taken up drugs or they've taken up whatever it may be to fill the void or to dumb down or to dumb them down. They may be hearing voices. They may be hearing whatever, but those may be guidance. Those may be guides. Those may be, or they just may be your own mind just reassuring you and understanding, or your spirit just saying, listen, understand, you're different than others. You're not the same. That's just the way it is. So if you're a little odd, don't worry about it, okay? That's the way you are. Just enjoy the fact that you are and move on. And let's all, you know, look at each other and say, hey, if you want to get happy and you want to get up there and you want to ascend, we're ready for it. It's only a few years away. Don't fight it. Be who you are. And whenever we are incarnated on the third dimension, all of these higher bodies are also alive and serve as our mirror, the support team. When we travel in the fourth dimension, we do so in the body that resonates to that subplane or higher one. In other words, we can travel through the astral plane in our astral body or in our mental or casual bodies. It is best to travel the lower subplanes in our higher frequency bodies, as we may need the greater light of our high bodies to serve as protection. This protection is especially needed in the lower astral plane. The light and love of our higher dimensional bodies is the greatest protection from the darkness and fear of the lower astral subplanes. Transferring our awareness. Moving from one subplane to another. It is not like moving on 3D Earth. Instead, we need to think in terms of transferring our consciousness from one reality to another. When we transfer our consciousness to another reality, we gradually become less responsive to the perceptions of the reality we are in and more responsive to the perceptions of the reality to which we are traveling. We have all had this experience as we slowly drift off to sleep. First, we are more aware of the physical world, and then slowly, without our realizing it, we have flashes of a dream. Often these flashes come while we are still awake. Eventually the physical world is perceived in flashes, and our dream world becomes predominant. The same process occurs when we meditate. Through meditation, we can raise our consciousness to a higher vibration by focusing our awareness on the higher dimensions. Navigating in the fourth dimension. Now, this is not just meditation. This is also a prayer for those of you who are accustomed to prayer. Prayer is the same thing as meditation. It's just defined differently by, you know, the religion that you adhere to. But, you know, worshiping, you know, calling, praying to Allah, or praying to Christ, or praying to Buddha, or praying to whoever, all right, is the same kind of thing, because what you're doing is you're tuning your mind to that higher dimension. You're being subservient, to I believe you are. You are humbling yourself to the hierarchy of the universe. For instance, if how many people have prayed and said, "Oh my God, help me out of this one," and you say it naturally because I'm in so much trouble. Please help me, somebody help me, universe, help me. And by God, you know, sometimes that universe, well, almost all the time, that universe does. And it contacts you and helps you. Because what you've done is you've said, "I can't do it myself. I don't know how. I need help. I need some kind of help," or whatever it may be. And maybe you're not calling for help. Maybe you're just calling out of or meditating out of gratitude. I do that all the time. I just thank God all the time that I'm healthy, or the sky is blue, or that I can enjoy a friend, or I can enjoy a relationship, or even my cat or my dog, enjoy their company. I'm grateful. These are gifts that I'm grateful for, and I'm thankful for, and I'm always, I always feel joy at many of these things, and gratitude of these gifts and these moments that I feel good, these moments that I feel great. They're the moments that are happy moments in life. I feel joyous. I feel like that it didn't come from me; it came from a much higher source. And I know that. So as long as you humble yourself to that aspect, humble yourself to those around you, and that you know. Like, for instance, I'm humbling myself to right now to those listening to me, because I'm thankful for them listening. And I hope that I can articulate this concept tonight of the fourth dimension So not to fear it, not to worry about it, but just to let it happen, because it's already happening. You're already doing it. You're already in and out of that fourth dimension every time you go to bed, every time you go to sleep. All right? Now just imagine, because this is the time now, these next few years is the time they call the time of sleepwalking. I mean, we are all sleepwalkers at this point. We're all in the fourth dimension. We're all riding into that fourth dimensional space, in and out, in and out, in and out. And we're all fourth dimensional dreamers. I mean, we all want things to happen, and we're all starting to say, "I want this to happen. I got to have this happen. I want it. I want it. I want it." And before you know it, you focus on something so much that it happens, and you get it. Okay. Once you achieve the fourth dimension, what you want will manifest itself immediately. There won't be any time delay. It'll manifest itself immediately. And isn't that a far, far great? It's like in a dream. It's like when you're in the dream world. It's like you're not waiting around for anything. I mean, if you want an ice cream in a dream, you have an ice cream. You know, if you want a house, a mansion in a dream, you're in your mansion. If you want an explanation to something, you focus on it before you sleep, and then it and the mind works on it and gives you that answer the next day or during the night. I've woken up at night with problems resolved, and because I've put them up to the universe to solve. Because I can't do it myself. I don't understand it. I don't understand the concept enough. And I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling. Why is this happening? What is going on? What's wrong? So when I, instead of keep saying what's wrong, just say, "Look, well, I don't know what the hell's wrong. I'm just going to back up and let the universe take care of it." And you put that question out to the universe, and it answers your question. It'll come back to you sooner or later, and usually sooner. The more you think about it, the more you put it off to God, if you will. Put it in God's hands. How many times have you heard that? Put it in God's hands. And that's exactly what you do. Put it in God's hands. Because it's something that, it's a test. And you find everything that you do essentially is a test of your faith, a test of your will, a test of your spirit, a test of your strength. And if we have a moment to rest, then we can be thankful. That's life. If we have 8 hours to get sleep and can actually sleep for 8 hours, that's a blessing, man. That's a blessing to be able to sleep for 8 hours in a day and wake up in a good mood and, you know, be strong, healthy, and have breakfast and, you know, go to work or do whatever you do, and be able to do it without pain, without discomfort, without anything. So if you are one of those, as I am, then be thankful and be joyful. Have compassion and sympathy for those who can't or those who aren't. And for those of you who don't have that joy, then by God, it's time that you get it. And understand that in the fourth dimension, there is no pain. There's only joy. There is no anything. Anything that you want, you can have. Unfortunately, the problem is if you want something bad to happen to someone or something bad to happen to you, that can manifest immediately. Now you don't want that. So those that are gravitating to the fourth dimension must gravitate toward the positive, toward compassionate, toward wisdom, toward very be wise and compassionate as you gravitate and as you make your choices and as you become aware of the magnificence of our ascension consciousness, of our consciousness ascending to a higher level where there is no war, there is no pain, there is no suffering, there is only joy, there is only friendship, and not just shallow friendships, deep-hearted, you know, good friendships, long, eternal friendships, those kind of things. Think of things in the most, in the highest and best possible way that we possibly can think of them, and that is what that fourth dimensional reality will become. That is what we will make it. And if we can make that into a community of thoughts that way, then that will create the utopian reality of the fourth and fifth and sixth dimensional levels as we continue to ascend up into the 13th dimension, which is God, you know, Godhood. All right. Well, we're already, understand that in order for us to reach the fourth dimensional state, we will be reaching Christhood. That's right, Christ consciousness. And a Christ consciousness is that full understanding of the immensity and validity of God within us, and God and our ability to reach that level of creation that we were intended to create, to be, that God intended us to be a higher creation. No, he's not saying be me. We can't be him. All we can be is us, but we can be like him. As long as we can be like our fathers and like our mothers if we want to be. Just think if you had the most perfect mother and perfect father, or perfect father in the whole world, in all the universe. Think of the most perfect father in the whole universe. What would that be? I don't know, but that would be kind of like God, as far as I'm concerned. And a great father is a God. He is a God to his kids, to his wife. You know, to his community. We're all gods, if you will, in that way. For those of us who aspire to the best of mankind, the best that mankind can be, that is God, Christ consciousness, and that's where we are headed. And that, my friends, is where the fourth dimension That's what awaits us in the fourth dimension, and the higher overtones of those of the fourth dimension, and the fifth, and the sixth, and the seventh, and eighth, ninth, tenth, and 13th dimensions, and all 144,000 overtones within, until we reach pure heaven, and which is oneness with our Creator. You know, we're back to the full oneness of our creation, and I can't think of anything more perfect than that. To be in God consciousness, Christ consciousness, but God consciousness. That's the best that it can be. And to be back to a complete and full, complete link to your Creator. And that's bizarre. But not only the Creator, but the Creator of the entire universe, the Creator of infinity. And that blows your mind. But that's where I want to be. I don't want to just be, you know. I mean, if I'm going to ascend, folks, I want to ascend. I'm not joking here. If there is a method of ascension, then I'm going to find it. And if there is a God who I know there is a God, but if we can link directly to God and be a part of Him again, and not cast out in the darkness, or not lost in space, or not, you know, but to be completely and uniquely linked to our Creator. I don't know. I mean, that's the best thing. I mean, it's like being a 5-year-old kid and having the best dad in the world, and having your father take you fishing, or being, you know, completely with you, paying attention to you. Or you being completely linked to your parent. That is how, you know, you would be with God. Okay? And that is how you would be in the fourth dimensional community. We would all be linked, and all be linked in love and respect, and compassion, and sympathy, and all the wonders that mankind is. And hopefully, I'm saying hopefully, we would be void of what is foul, of all that debases the human spirit, and just be able to be joyful. That's heaven. That's what heaven is. And that's what the fourth dimension is. But consider that not only you're not just there, you have everything in them. Everything's perfect in the fourth dimension. In the fifth dimension, then you go on beyond further than that. It's like getting postgraduate degrees of existence. You know, it's just it's endless and endless and endless as you learn more, and as you learn more about the universe, you know, about yourself, about your spirit, about the world, about not the world, but the universe, the cosmos, the infinity. And your possibilities are infinite. And that's how you were created. That's what kind of a creation humanity is. We're not lowly, you know, rocks. I mean, we're slimy worms. We're able to ascend. And with that, you know, there's nothing better. And that's what the fourth dimension is. And I'm going to ask you to, I'm going to refer you to GAIA, G-A-I-A community, I believe it's .com. And for you to go to that and just take a look at what they're talking about. It's very, 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 very interesting. I like what they're saying. We'll continue with some of this as well next week. But tomorrow night, please join us when we'll have George Dixon with us, and we will be talking about conventional travel and all these other wonderful things that we do on this show. And I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. Join us again tomorrow with George Dixon as we discuss the